Oh my gosh, being here at the Folger Library I've been able to encounter so many great Shakespeareans. And actually doing this podcast, I've encountered so many great Shakespearean artists like Connor McCreary, one of the co-creators of the Kill Shakespeare graphic novel. I am here with an equally bitchin' badass Shakespearean artist, Mia Gosling, aka Good Tickle Brain. And if I may say, yours is the definitive stick figure Shakespeare comic strip.
Yes, and possibly the only one, I have to add.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 493, Good Tickle Brain. If you follow me on Twitter, or indeed if you follow any Shakespeare-related theaters or people on social media, you've probably seen the three-panel stick-figure Shakespearean webcomic Good Tickle Brain. Mia Gosling, the creator and artist, was at the Folger Library in Washington, D.C. while we were last month, and I finally got to meet the woman whose work I've admired for so long. She gave a fantastic lecture demonstration at the Folger prior to one of our performances, and we met up at the Hawk and Dove pub on Capitol Hill afterwards to talk about how she created the comic and where she got the name.
I was starting this comic website, and I was trying to come up with a good name for it, and I wanted to use a Shakespeare quote, but I couldn't really settle on something that captured sort of Shakespeare and humor and everything that I wanted the comic to be. So I was just writing down, you know, various quotes that popped into my mind, and one of my favorite plays is Henry IV, Part 1, and in that play, there's a whole play within a play bit with Prince Hal and Falstaff says, "Peace, good pint pot, peace, good tickle brain." And I remember very vividly when I wrote down "good tickle brain," it suddenly struck me, yes, this is what sums up my comic, "good tickle brain."
So. Good tickle brain, because it's good, and it does tickle your brain. It does all of those things.
Thank you very much.
But and that begs the question, too, why Shakespeare?
Oh.
Where did your love of Shakespeare come from?
Well, I would like to blame the RSC for this, because I saw the RSC production when it toured in Ann Arbor when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, but actually, I don't remember anything about it. I'm sure subconsciously it influenced me, but...
Infused with a sense of irreverence?
Indeed. It sort of probably planted the seed in my head that Shakespeare is not something that you have to take super seriously, and right, you can have a lot of fun with it. But then my parents would take me up to the Stratford Festival a lot to see shows there, so... I was constantly watching Shakespeare on stage, and then my father introduced me to the Laurence Olivier Henry V, and for some reason, I really took to it. I just loved the words, I loved the plot, the battles, and I loved everything about it.
Your dad was a professor of Shakespeare, of English?
Oh, no, he's a geographer, actually, professor of geography, but one of these sort of Renaissance men who knows everything about everything.
I'm jealous of the fact that you were taken up to the Stratford Festival at a young age, and I know from your Facebook and Twitter feed that you live in Michigan and that you go up there sort of regularly now. I've never been there.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's about a 4-hour drive for me, but it's worth every single minute. And I generally would go up every year with my family and see as many plays as we can, but now I just go up as often as I can to see everything. It's my home away from home as far as Shakespeare is concerned.
And have you studied Shakespeare? Because you seem so on team and, to use a classical word, and so familiar with all the plays. Just like at a drop of a hat, I mention any play and you'll know the plot and the major characters. Have you studied it as well, or this is just osmosis?
I took a couple classes in college just because I liked Shakespeare, not because I studied English or anything. But mostly it's just been through exposure through stage performances. So I've seen every single Shakespeare play performed on stage except for The Two Noble Kinsmen.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
I won't even ask how old you are, but you're way younger than me. I'm going to say you're about a third of my age. And you've already done that.
Yeah, I'm older than that. But yes, I have seen every single play, including Timon of Athens.
And including Shakespeare's long-lost first play.
Exactly. I was so privileged to be able to see a workshop of this last year, and now to be able to see it at the Folger has just been a dream come true, and I can check that off my list, and I've now almost almost completed the canon.
Do you think it's changed from the workshop to this production?
I think it's become a lot tighter.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fun stuff in the workshop production that got tightened out, And I mean, I enjoyed it, but I think it actually flows better and it's a bit snappier now. And so I've enjoyed seeing the evolution of it.
Cool. So you shot the canon almost, except for Two Noble Kinsmen, and So Shakespeare, that makes sense. Now, where did comic strips come from? Where did stick figures come from?
Well, the stick figures comes from the fact that I can't really draw.
And yet, you have decided to make a comic strip that is all about the visual medium.
I guess so. I guess part of where that came from is when I would travel with my parents to keep me entertained while dinner's waiting or we're waiting around, they would have a sketchbook and we could draw things that happened that day. And since I couldn't draw very well, I would draw these little stick figures. And it just kind of evolved from that. That's the only thing I know how to draw, and I've run with it. You know?
It's absolutely, and it hasn't stopped you. There's a Shakespeare quote about this. You've made a
virtue of necessity.
Very good. Oh, my God. There is a quote for every occasion from Shakespeare, isn't there?
Just about, yes.
Wow. Well, and last year, when we did the workshop of Long Lost Shakes at Shakespeare Notre Dame, they commissioned you to do a 3-panel comic about that encapsulated Long Lost Shakes. Would you do it differently now that you've seen it? Because I think you made that before you even saw it.
I did. I actually got sent an early draft script of Long Lost Shakes, and I read through that, so I knew the basic outline. I don't think I would change too much, because what I came up with pretty much nails what happens.
It's true.
Chaos does indeed ensue. How often do you post a strip?
I post strips every Tuesday and Thursday, and I've stuck pretty regularly to that schedule. So.
Oh my gosh, year round.
Yeah, pretty much. I take a week off around Christmas, and then sometimes I take a week off when I go to the Stratford Festival. Pretty much Tuesday and Thursday every single week.
That's amazing. That's how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it since the fall of 2013, so about 2.5 years now.
Do you ever run out of ideas? Are you constantly just scratching your beating your head against the wall?
Yes. No. I have a whole file on my computer that just has random ideas that have come into my head, and then I'll just look at that and see if there's anything that leaps out at me in a particular week, or I'll just stare at a list of the plays and see what occurs to me when I'm looking at them. You know, is there a play? Is there a comic I could do about As You Like It or Twelfth Night or Time of Athens?
Well, and what's great about being here at the Folger is that you just gave this lecture tonight ahead of our performance, and what's great about the Folger is that they celebrate every kind of engagement with Shakespeare. They're not at all precious about how one engages. And yet I think that what you're doing is, in its way, Shakespearean scholarship. Because you're analyzing the text, and you're making points, and you're finding new meanings and new constructions out of the ancient texts. I think there's some very valid literary criticism going on in your work.
Oh, God, please don't write a PhD dissertation about me.
Listen, somebody's writing a PhD dissertation about us. So it's just a matter of time.
That's true. I don't think of myself so much in the terms of scholarship. I just find Shakespeare so much fun, and I just concentrate on conveying that fun to my audience.
Well, that's what it is. It's like us writing our plays. It's a way to engage with Shakespeare in a way that you are capable of and the way that we're capable.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been great because I try and tailor my work so that it can be both accessible to people who really love Shakespeare and people who don't love Shakespeare or don't know Shakespeare. And I've got friends who don't like Shakespeare at all who have started to get interested in Shakespeare because of reading my comics, and that's really the most rewarding thing about it all.
It's true. They get involved with your comics and they go, that's really cute. Oh, I bet if I knew the play, I would get it more.
Exactly. And I've actually, I'm hoping that I can get some of my friends to go see some live Shakespeare with me this year and sort of break through that last barrier.
You know, we got a review here at the Folger that said Long Lost Shakes could be a gateway Shakespeare drug that could lead to a major addiction for people. And I think your comic strip is sort of doing the same thing.
Oh, that would be great. That would, to be as effective as the RSC has been in that regard would just be phenomenal for me.
This is Connor McCreary, the co-creator of Kill Shakespeare, the fantabulous comic book. And you, good sir or madam, are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? We're on a break. We're on a mother flippin' break. On June 24th, we'll perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged at the People's Bank Theater in Marietta, Ohio. This is the rescheduled performance from the one that got canceled back in January. Then on July 7th and 8th, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at Appalachian State in Boone, North Carolina. Then, for the entire month of August 2016, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We'll also have a bunch of performance dates this fall of 2016 in the U.S. They are already up on our website. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Mia Gosling, the creator of the three-panel stick figure Shakespearean webcomic, Good Tickle Brain. The other thing that's awesome about, I just learned this about you tonight at your lecture, is that it's not only Shakespeare that you're passionate about. The Shakespeare nerd is strong with you, but yet you're a musical theater nerd and specifically a Gilbert and Sullivan nerd. And those are things that you and I share. If you started doing stick figure Gilbert and Sullivan, I'd be all over that in a heartbeat.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do Gilbert and Sullivan. Gilbert and Sullivan was my first experience to the theater. The first show I ever saw was Princess Ida, and I remember freaking out when the guys climbed over the wall because I knew they were going to be in trouble, and then seeing Pirates of Penzance when I was small at the Stratford Festival. So Gilbert and Sullivan holds a very, very special place in my heart, and I will definitely be turning my attention to them at some point.
How did you get involved with Gilbert and Sullivan?
Parents.
I love your parents. Oh my God.
I love them too. They exposed me to so much theater and culture and different art forms when I was young. It just let me soak it all up. And the best thing is, they are extremely supportive of what I'm doing now.
Well, they better be.
Because you just left your day job, right?
Yes, I did. I was a cataloger at the University of Michigan Library, and I loved that job so much. But I was really running out of time to spend with my comic as much as I want to really in order to develop it. So I left that job just a week ago, and I'm in scary new waters now. But it's very exciting.
And you combined your love of musicals and Shakespeare in a couple of strips, right?
Yes, I did The Sound of Hamlet, which was one of those things that seemed like a good idea. It was taking The Sound of Music and combining it with Hamlet. So I wrote Hamlet using songs from The Sound of Music with my own lyrics.
And it was a good idea. You were right.
It actually turned out pretty well. I'm very pleased that the Rodgers and Hammerstein estate hasn't tracked me down about it, but it was a lot of fun to do.
Good. Well, as they should. Didn't you? What was To Be or Not To Be? You set that to music?
Oh, yeah. That was Do Re Mi. To Be or Not To Be. I can't remember the rest of it right now.
And you did, I saw this. You did Into the Woods. You combined Into the Woods with something.
I combined Into the Woods with all the plays where people go into the woods. So I had As You Like It. I had Macbeth. I had Midsummer Night's Dream. And I smushed them all together into Sondheim, Into the Woods mashup. It was a lot of fun.
It was phenomenal. I think that happened right around the same time we were rehearsing Long Lost Shakes. I went, oh my God, we send everybody into the woods as well.
Well, everybody does keep going into the woods in Shakespeare's plays. It seemed like such an obvious thing to do. So.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, I think the same review that called us a gateway drug said it's like a Shakespearean Into the Woods, but with thankfully less singing. So I went, all right, well, this critic's a snob or something.
I could always use more singing. More singing in the RSC, I say.
Well, I say too. But, we did a musical once, and it was so successful, we've never done another one.
Yes, I know that kind of success.
Yes. You also did this phenomenal thing recently. You created, for Shakespeare's birthday week and his death day week, the What Shakespeare Play Are We Going to See Tonight? Was that the name of it?
Yeah, it was a What Shakespeare Play Should You See flowchart.
It was a flow chart, and it was great. And it just asked all the if you are in for this kind of play, then this kind of play, then this.
Yeah, it was basically trying to get a flow chart that led you to every single Shakespeare play, depending on what path you picked. And the first one I started with was Titus Andronicus, and I asked, do you want to laugh or cry to sort of sort out the comedies and tragedies? And eventually, both of those arrows would lead to Titus Andronicus, because frankly, it's either really, really horrible or, in my opinion, really, really hilarious.
And I know I can't have been the only one to say, when is this going to be a poster?
Very soon. I have to go back and recover from this whole fantastic whirlwind Folger trip, but then I will be redesigning it to fit into a good poster format and making it available.
Oh, my God. My dorm wall awaits. The other thing that you've branched out this year, not only is it Shakespeare's 400th death-iversary, but it's an election year. And you got into politics with bumper stickers and tote bags. What were they?
I decided since it was an election year, I should commemorate somehow. So I created a campaign for Shakespeare running with his running mate Burbage, his chief actor at the Globe. So I came up with some T-shirts saying Shakespeare Burbage. Oh, what fools these voters be! And some bumper stickers. And I'm hoping to do at some point this year a series of comics based around election themes with Shakespeare and Burbage involved.
I bought a lot of these bumper stickers and several of the tote bags as Christmas gifts, and they were incredibly well received.
Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that.
No, they're great. They're very funny, and it's great. It's the perfect position to take in this election year.
Well, I would certainly vote for them.
Yeah. I like to think, at least I hope, that you're off to a good start with this being a webcomic person, because didn't you get a commission from, who was it, the Stratford Birthplace Trust?
Yeah, the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust in Stratford-upon-Avon, who manage all the historical buildings associated with Shakespeare, including his birthplace.
Right.
They commissioned me to do some drawings about from Shakespeare's life and about Tudor life during that period. And a lot of my drawings are now on the walls in informational panels in Shakespeare's birthplace, which just blows my mind. I've got pictures of Shakespeare growing up, playing with gloves in his father's glove workshop. I've got also ones about Tudor house construction. So I've got a little stick figure putting together a waddle and daub wall, which is really hard to draw, but they're on the wall in Shakespeare's birthplace. I mean, how crazy is that?
So if you're visiting Stratford-upon-Avon, you can see Mia's work in all over town, I'm guessing.
Well, at least around the Shakespeare birthplace monuments. If you're there, take a picture and send it to me. I love seeing it.
So where can people go to catch up on the strips that they've missed and to order good Tickle Brain merch?
Oh, what an excellent question, Austin. I'm so glad you asked. People can go to goodticklebrain.com, and you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. Username is all goodticklebrain.
Is there one of those social media platforms that you prefer over the others?
Not really. I guess if you want to chat with me, I'm probably most active on Twitter, but I post content to all of them fairly regularly.
I prefer Twitter, too. I think I get more bang for my buck from Facebook. More likes, more exchange, more shares and whatnot. But I feel like I have a more personal connection with people on the Twitter.
Yeah, Facebook is best for getting your content in front of lots of different eyes. But I think Twitter is unparalleled for being able to connect with fans and with other people. I mean, that's how I connected with you, is on Twitter.
That's right. Facebook is for the friends you know, for the friends you already have, and Twitter is for your new friends. And that's how you and I met, and now we're new friends.
Exactly.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Shakespearean stick figures via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, fully two-dimensional Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Keith Mervine. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Connor McCreary, one of the co-creators of the amazing graphic novel Kill Shakespeare. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 493, 1479ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Mia, best of luck. God bless you and all who sail in you.
Thank you very much, sir.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.